Welcome to Growing Up in America on KPFT, Houston Pacifica Radio, with our host from Children at Risk, Dr. Katie McConnell and Mandy Kimball. What do we have on tap today, Katie and Mandy?
Hello, hello.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Thank you, Don. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Mandy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for being here today.
I'm excited to be here today. We've, as usual, have a fantastic lineup, and it's Fun Drive.
That's right.
So we get the opportunity to share some of the good news about one of our favorite radio stations in the city and help them keep the lights on, Mandy. That's important.
That's right. To help them help you.
That's
really
right.
If you want to stay informed, if you want to know what's going on, if you want Growing Up in America to continue,
which we know everybody does,
we need your support and call in today. We have a fantastic hour. We have some great guests today.
Yeah,
there's
so much going on right now. So much to cover.
There is. But, so today we do have Dr. Katie. Bob is in San Antonio.
Question mark. It's hard to keep up with him right now. And a lot of our staff members.
It's hard to keep up with
traveling
everyone.
So much.
It's right? True.
So yeah, happy to be here filling in for Dr. Bob today. Actually playing the role of Mandy while you play the role, Mandy, of Dr. Bob.
I don't know. Well, we're just going to do it. We're going to have our own Katie and Mandy show.
That's right. Starring Katie and Mandy. It should be great.
That's great. So like we mentioned, this is Fun Drive. We have an hour. Please call in and give your support. I'm going to give you the phone number right now. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Please call in and pledge your support for Growing Up in America on KPFT. Katie, what are we doing today?
So we are going to start off with one of our favorite people, senior staff attorney from Children at Risk, Jamie Carruthers. He's going to be our data head, and he is calling in talking about the significance of the number 3,500.
3,500 something.
Any predictions?
No.
I tried to get it out of him earlier, and he wouldn't budge on it.
Good for him. Yeah. The revealing happens in just a moment. And after Data Head, we have Chanel Brown from AmeriCorps Vista with Children at Risk, and she's going to be giving us an update on their work regarding Hurricane Harvey. It's so fantastic. We have four Vistas for a year.
Yep.
Focused on Hurricane Harvey. I was at a big event last week and the city came up and was talking about how excited to have four intelligent people.
Hardworking. Smart.
Working on this, helping the community. So I'm excited to hear.
Yeah, I'm excited too to have Chanel as a regular part on the radio. Of course, when we were recruiting, we didn't include that this was part of it, but Chanel fits in great. So happy to have her. And then we will have Samad Hinton from he is the founder of Untangled Pathways. He'll be joining us to talk a little bit about their program and what's going on with them.
Yep, sounds great. And today on our social conscience scale, we want you to call in and pledge. And when you pledge, you can give your opinion, thumbs up or thumbs down, teachers bringing personal political views into the classroom.
There's
a lot of talk right now. We're in the middle of midterm elections. Early voting started today.
That's right. We have very important visitors coming to Houston this evening. Watch out for traffic.
That's right.
President Trump will be at the Cruz rally at the Toyota Center.
I think so. And we had Beto last night.
That's right. So much going on.
Sugarland.
How about that? Sugarland got something. But what does it mean?
They get a lot, actually.
What does it mean when your kids, when your seven-year-old is coming home and talking about politics and they're reciting the politics they heard from their teacher? So should teachers be bringing their opinions into the classroom?
Engaging kids.
Engaging kids. And then our final guest today, I am so excited for this guest, is Bill Ludwig, the Southwest Regional Administrator for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We know that October is Farm to School Month, and Bill will spend some time talking with us today about that and many other things, as only Bill Ludwig can do. So we're thrilled to talk to him at the end of the show.
I know. It's so great to have him calling in. We're going to have a fantastic show, and we want to remind everyone that KPFT's Fun Drive is happening, and if you'd like to donate, please call 713-526-KPFT. We could not do what we do without your support. Welcome to Growing Up in America on KPFT Houston Pacifica Radio, a discussion on our children, public policy, politics, and our future. And how do we as a nation do when we taking care of all of our kids? Yeah. And this is going to be a great show.
It is absolutely going to be a great show.
Because it is a wonderful show. And so we just to talk about how unique growing up in America is, right? And I know that there are several people that are plugged into the news all the time. And you get little pop-ups on your phone telling you what's going on in Texas, in D.C., around the nation, and other parts of the world. But there is not another platform like this when the focus is solely on kids.
On kids.
What are the conversations happening? What can we do to better support our children?
That's right. And how can we get the word out to community and also get input from the community to make sure that what we're working on is important and what the kids in throughout Houston and the state of Texas need. Know that this also transfers into a podcast as well. So people all over the country are listening to this this little station right here in the heart of Montrose.
I mean, sometimes you get busy and you're not available at 3 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. I understand things happen and you can listen to us later.
That's right. But without KPFT here, we don't have that option. So we would ask for you to call in at 713-526-5738 if you're willing to make a contribution to help keep Mandy and Growing Up in America and myself as the favorite substitute on the air.
There we go. Making it personal. We do have goals and appreciate you and thank you in advance for your support. So we'll be talking a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But let's go to our first guest of the day.
Our date ahead.
That's right. There we go. And so today we have Jamie Carruthers, Senior Staff Attorney for Children at Risk. How are you doing today, Jamie?
How are you and Katie?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Thanks
for calling in, Jamie. We're excited to hear about the number 3,500. You have approximately 4 minutes to explain it. No, go ahead.
Quite the time restarted. Well, it's not just the number of student loan payments I have left before this logically is all mine.
It's a great investment.
The number of felony level convictions we had last year in Texas for the crime of prostitution.
Oh.
3,500 felony level prostitution crimes. And what's interesting about that number is that none of those numbers were for buyers, that is sex buyers, the men who are actually purchasing sex, all of them are for mainly women, but also some men who are prostitute individuals, sellers. That's who we're sending to prison because that felony level, you're going to get some mandatory jail time. And so what we're doing is we're sending 3,500 people to prison county every year, most of whom have been or are being sex trafficked.
So, and you're saying this is Texas specific, correct?
Correct.
These data is, wow.
If that 3,500.
3,500 in 1 year just goes to show.
And only sellers.
And only sellers.
Not a single buyer.
That's right. And we're always talking, Jamie, that as long as there's a demand, there's going to be a supply. But where are the tactics to reduce the demand and how can we do it? I mean, it's unfortunate because we know that the people who are going to jail right now as a state felony.
State jail felony.
That's right. Is not how we're going to resolve this. What is being done to address this issue, Jamie?
Well, we want to change the law as a first step and try to reduce the amount of sellers who are sent to prison and replace that with probation. So they're going to get connected with services, at least drug and alcohol counseling in some jurisdictions. They'll have domestic violence counseling, life skills, GED programs. They'll have a parole officer and some accountability. We'd like to see that done for sellers. And on the buyer side, we would very much like to see it a state jail felony. If we're going to send people to prison, it should be sex buyers. And some landmark studies have come out around buyers showing that the biggest deterrence for them isn't knowing that the person they're purchasing may have been sex trafficked. They don't care. It isn't knowing the person may be underage. Again, they don't care. The biggest deterrents are jail time and public exposure. And so prison, jail time doesn't seem to do much at all for sellers. You know, they're going to get out and their pimp's going to put them right back to work. But for buyers, it could be a meaningful deterrent. And knowing that it's a felony for buyers would incentivize law enforcement to start prosecute for going after buyers instead of sellers, and incentivizing prosecutors to start taking these buying cases seriously.
You know, we were just talking about how there's midterm elections going on right now, and I've received several flyers. If you turn on the television, you see a bunch of campaigns going out and a lot of people talking about how they have a strong stand against the fight on human trafficking.
Human trafficking, that's right. That's what I was going to say. And that distinction in human trafficking and prostitution is oftentimes...
That's right.
It's a very blurry line.
It is, right? And there is a line, but it's also many times very connected. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Texas has done a great job over the past 10 years on the fight against human trafficking, making some distinctions, enhancing penalties for the traffickers and for the pimps, but hasn't really accepted a cultural shift that we will not tolerate, right? We will not tolerate humans buying other humans and exploiting them. And it's a serious situation and something that I hope to turn. Jamie, in the conversations that you have had with public officials, conversations that you're following that are going on in the Capitol, are you hopeful, and do you think Texas is ripe to put an end to this?
I am hopeful. I think the demand reduction strategy is starting to gain a lot of traction. As you said, Mandy, without these men, and they are all men, buying other people, we would not have sex trafficking. And so this is the element of the equation that Texas needs to get focused on. These guys are culpable. They're doing this of their own volition. They see nothing wrong with it. And if we get rid of that part of the equation, the market equation, then the supply of people being sold is necessarily going to dwindle because no one provides a product, no one is buying. And I think that finally it's really getting some traction. You know, prison reform is going to be a big topic next year at the Capitol. It's the perfect time to start talking to them about, hey, let's stop sending victims or people who might be victims to prison, and let's focus on the truly culpable people and see how we can effectively deter and punish them. See how we can get, you know, people who are victims. You know, most prostituted individuals started that life as minors. Not all of them, but the majority did. And so let's start working with this population and giving them some services and see how we can prevent human trafficking at the outset by going after buyers.
And I think I was just going to say, you know, I think it's important for us, again, as we're promoting Growing Up in America today and as we're promoting KPFT and the work that is done here, you know, to really look at the work that, Jamie, that you've done and that Mandy has done over the last 10 years that Mandy referenced to get to the point where we can be having these conversations where we're even getting close to a transition in mindset. And I think that's very exciting, not only for kids across the state, well, for all of these victims across the state, but especially in our Houston area where we know we've had a hand in getting some mind shifts changed, mm-hmm. or shifted, and the work will continue to be done.
Well, and our listeners have been very engaged.
Absolutely.
In this fight as well. And I mean, 3,500 people who were arrested. Listeners, we can't pretend that there isn't a problem, because you know there's probably just as many of those, if not, who are going undetected and getting arrested. They can't get everyone. And so there sure is a lot to do. And Jamie, I know that you're working really hard across the state of Texas. I know that you're working with people across the nation to try to end demand and putting in place strategies. Now is the time. And we look forward to getting updates from you as this goes through. A new session, the Texas legislative session, starts in January, and you're doing a lot of prep work. So thank you very much, and we look forward to getting your updates.
Oh, well, thank you, ladies. I look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks. Take care.
You know, interesting fact, too, Jamie revealed to me today that this was the first time he was calling in for Data Head.
Oh, really?
And I know.
What a number.
I said, we're going to need to catch you up on that. But I feel like that was a really powerful number to come out of the chute with. So
it is. There you go. All right, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Now is your chance and opportunity to call in and pledge your support for Growing Up in America again. And we have lots of public officials on the office, on the office.
We do have them on the
on the show talking about issues. We know that human trafficking is one issue that has stood out. There's several other issues. And so when you call in, please, you know, let us know when you pledge your support, what other issues you would like for us to discuss and participate, be an active participant, in the Growing Up in America show.
Right. Well, and I just think too, you know, while we might get, political banter on the show at times when we do, it's important for our listeners to keep in mind we don't have other advertisements that we have to listen to, and we're able, KPFT is able to maintain that through the support of the generous listeners that call in and make a pledge. So we would encourage you to do so. Now we are transitioning to our next guest on the phone. We have Chanel Brown.
Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with his spy? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I will survive. Oh, as long
as I know. Chanel, that is the best song
it
ever.
It is great.
So perfect for you. How are you doing this afternoon, Chanel?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
Wonderful. Thanks for calling in. Now, Chanel Brown is a VISTA with Children at Risk. She and her colleagues are working extremely hard and focused on recovering from Hurricane Harvey. Chanel, tell us, how are some of the conversations going and what are y'all up to these days?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So we have been working on a lot of things regarding Harvey. One of the things that we've been working on is an infographic that is going to be detailing some of the things that are happening with this $2.5 billion bond that was passed. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to be talking about just more of the specifics and just how this will impact the Houston area and how this will impact children. We also have some individual projects that we have. For me, I will be working on research regarding those that were impacted by Katrina and those that moved to Houston only to have experienced Harvey. So just kind of how that transition was and just kind of the impacts they felt from both of those storms.
And that's got to be traumatizing, right?
Double traumatizing.
Right? Once is enough. Right.
That's more than enough for most people. Yeah.
Right. And then and many of those kids, right, were in school, starting school, and then it happened to them again. And so what services are going to be impacted? I'm really interested to see the data on that.
And Chanel, I know you had the opportunity to attend an event last week, I believe, at Rice University, where that was a topic of some of the conversation, not necessarily the impact of the kind of the double trauma, but just looking at Katrina survivors in general. What takeaways did you all have from that event?
Yeah, so last Friday we went to a policy to practice event, and the first session they talked about the children of Katrina, and they did research spanning over, I believe, 7 years. So it was from 2005 to 2012. When they conducted this research. So one of the interesting things that I found is that kind of one of the mechanisms that helped children cope was pretty much just helping other people to cope. So like with the evacuation process, they would help their families evacuate. And like in shelters, they would just help people try to get them back on their feet. And like even after the storm, a lot of these children would participate in some sort of community service activity. So just helping other people, reaching out to other people, just kind of help them, again, just to cope and kind of just try to figure out the way that they're working out as well. So
that's great to hear. Of all things that could come of that, that's a kind of unexpected outcome for me, at least, mm-hmm. To hear that that's what's helping kids the most. But what an encouraging mm-hmm. opportunity for kids.
Exactly.
What are some of the other long-term projects? I know, as Mandy said, there we have multiple vistas working. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other projects that you guys have going on over the course of the next, 11 months, I guess? 10 months?
Yes. Yeah. So one of the projects that Rebecca, one of the other vistas, is working on, she is going to be trying to disseminate an app. So this app is focusing on kind of disaster planning and recovery. So through this app, we're going to be trying to kind of reach out to younger demographics. So just, you know, children in maybe elementary schools, middle schools. Rebecca is actually in the process of working out some interviews in the middle school in the Houston area just to kind of get their feedback on the app and see if this is something that could be long term and something that they're really invested in and really hope to engage with as well. And then one of the things that Genesis, our other VISTA, is working on, she is handling the matters in regards to the Children's Resiliency Collaborative. So what she does, she gets all the information that we've been working on, the meetings that we've been attending, and she is kind of writing notes and analyzing just everything that we've been working on, and she updates the members of the Children's Resiliency Collaborative.
And that collaborative came to be just a couple days after the storm, and now more than a year later, yep, still working hard to make sure the needs of our kids are being met. Chanel, thank you so much for joining us on the air this afternoon, as well as for the work that you guys are doing day in and day out. The kids along the Gulf Coast are lucky to have you on their side.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Chanel.
Bye. You know, Hurricane Harvey happened over a year ago, and so some folks might be like, why are you talking about it? And it's because they aren't seeing it.
That's right.
But the reality is that the hurricane is still impacting many children's lives. Many people still...
And will. For a
long
time.
Absolutely. And it's not just necessarily housing that hasn't completely been restored, but just the trauma and the schooling and the stability that our kids, which, you know what, are extremely resilient and they can
absolutely
be okay. We just need to make sure that things are in place to make it happen.
And I think those findings that she shared from the event they went to at Rice, that kids are flourishing the most when they have the opportunity to give back as a result of this trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I think that speaks to the awesome nature of kids in general right there. So we're eager to see the work that they'll have coming up in the future.
Great. You are listening to Growing Up in America on KPFT Pacifica Radio. This week is Pledge Drive.
That's right.
That's right. And we need your support. So if you appreciate Growing Up in America, talking about children's issues, I'm sure that the number that Jamie gave people shocked everybody who was listening. 3,500 individuals arrested for prostitution in Texas. What can we do about it? What
and
is
that
the
they
strategy?
Were all sellers. All
and that
sellers.
They were all sellers.
Is
just a glimpse of what is the data going around, but also what are strategies and what are the issues that are impacting our kids. And the only way that we can have Growing Up in America is if you are calling in and pledging your support. 713-526-5738. You know, later on we're going to be talking about education, food insecurity. There's been a lot of report cards that have been delivered.
Yes,
what's
lots.
Going on with public education
there
right now?
Oh, wait,
right?
Was that, were you inviting me to go ahead and turn
not
it
yet
into the Katie McConnell show? Because I'm happy to.
But this is where we talk about the issues. And then in January is the legislative session. And so what is happening in Austin and how can you participate? How can we as a community ensure that our children are taken care of and that we are all a voice for our kids that don't have one? Extremely important, but we need you to call in and pledge your support right now. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. All right.
What an exceptional intro song.
It is. Up next, we have Samad Hinton. How are you doing today, Samad?
I'm great. How are you guys doing on this great Monday? Early voting, right?
That is right. Started today. Thanks for joining. Samad Hinton is the founder of Untangled Pathways. Thank you for joining us today, Samad. Tell us a little bit about Untangled Pathways and the efforts that y'all are putting on right now.
Yeah, so you know, it's a great time for us. We are a young startup group here in Houston, and just a little bit about myself. You know, being a Florida native, as we like to say, Texas is our second cousin. But you know, being an educator for 10 years and really getting into the work of working with disconnected youth, some of the inspiration has come behind that work, particularly when we start to look at the breakdown of who's impacted across this nation. I believe that number is going down a little bit, but we're still talking about 4.9 million disconnected youth at hand across the U.S. and particularly in Texas. We're helping around, 138,000 so individuals. So a lot of our work.
So can you tell us a little bit, what do you say, who are disconnected youth? What does that mean?
Yes, that's a great question. So disconnected youth are those youth between 16 and 24 who are not in school, nor are they working. The term I like to use is opportunity youth, because there's an opportunity for us to change their lives through workforce education and also engagement through the community. So that's really who we're looking at, but we're, from Untangled Pathways perspective, looking at those individuals who are at risk. So we look at those individuals at risk and see what opportunities there are out there, because just like all parents, they're worried about whether or not their child is going to have an opportunity to be successful and economically have some economic mobility in doing so. So what we started out with in looking at how we best service at-risk youth is looking at the area of STEM. If you look at the data from the U.S. Census since 1990, STEM occupations have gone up in terms of career opportunities by 79%, particularly in community computer science occupation. You're talking about 338% since 1990. So there is an opportunity for us to look at how we engage at-risk youth here in Houston and getting them excited about computer science, but not just the getting into the industry, but how they can use that for social good. So that's really primarily what we're focused on in terms of our work.
The age range, 16 to 24, is not an easy age range.
It's really not. That's what, when you first, you know, define that time or that age bracket, you just think, oh, wow. Wow.
Well, and that's difficult, right? Because they're not the little cute ones that you can fix everything at that moment, right? And the independence and the expectations.
That's right.
Are so high for this youth. And I mean, in Texas, at 17, you're an adult, when we all know you have no business being an adult when you're 17.
Well, I thought I had all the business. I think I confessed.
Thank you, Drew. That's right.
But we even know from a neuroscience standpoint, right? Our kids' brains are still developing at that point in time. You know, we talk so much about early education, but this is such a critical time because it is wiring their brains for the next phase of their life, which is adulthood, which we never get to escape.
Right.
Right. So what's happening during that time is critical.
Yeah, no. And this work sounds great. Samad, so how are you trying to engage and connect these disconnected youth?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're looking at it from a couple of different standpoints, but I think for us here and when we talk about the, you know, Houston area, our belief is that the greatest opportunity we have is to really engage and partner through community initiatives like the Complete Community Initiative here in Houston. Working with the community in such a framework, particularly when you have all the stakeholders there, to your point, when we're talking about working at individuals at that level, one organization can't be the silver bullet. It has to be a community effort. Mm-hmm. So our goal is engaging with those same partners through the Complete Community Initiative here in Houston, and our perspective of putting that kind of silver bullet together to really engage. It's saying, hey, we're going to provide this platform for these at-risk or economically disadvantaged youth with the ability to explore their curiosity in the field of computer science and how that curiosity can be used for social good. And in that lens, we understand that this type of platform is going to be imperative in helping them and those youth see themselves as part of the solution and uplifting the community. But more importantly, we are providing that opportunity to foster greater opportunity and access for them to see themselves in the STEM field to build a really strong workforce here in Houston as we continue to have opportunities, I would like to say, like the Amazons and maybe other groups like Google see themselves relocating here in Houston. So we want to be part of that comprehensive community framework here in Houston.
That's so great, and I think everybody can get behind that part of the work that you're doing, right? You're not only helping the kids now, and also it's weird to refer to the kids as 16 to 24-year-olds, but helping the quote-unquote kids now, but also that is laying the groundwork for not only their future, but collectively. I love your stance on, you know, really it takes a village mentality, right? And this is one more piece of the puzzle that we can help. What you're doing will help support our community in the future. And that's so important.
That's right. So what can the community do right now? If you had a call to action, you've captured the attention of thousands of listeners. What can we do to support at-risk and economically disadvantaged students?
That's a great question. You know, what call to action for me is to continue to be part of that commitment at large at creating that comprehensive framework. And that's no tall feat, because individually we can win the battles, but we're going to win the war by collectively attacking and addressing these issues at risk. So when we talk about how do we get parents involved, how do we get community leaders, how do we get employers involved, that's going to take all of us. So we have to be active. We have to have that open dialogue, no matter how painful that conversation may be. It's really going to help us win the war and really address how we create a vibrant, youthful group. I always use the saying, every time I have a birthday, my age goes up. So I'm not getting any younger. So we do need this young population to be the group that leads us into a new society, one that's changing, but one that could be very great if we help mentor and nurture these youth that we have here.
That's wonderful. And if folks want to learn more about your efforts, is there a website that they can go to if they want to learn more or get involved?
Absolutely. So they can go to www.untanglepathways.org, or they can follow us on Twitter. It's going to be at untanglepath or IG, untangle_path.
There we go. And like you said, it takes a community or a village to support our kids. There is no silver bullet,
There's
right?
Not.
Each child is unique. So what are the different ways that we can support these youth, these young adults, find a way and get connected? Extremely important. We have been talking to Samad Hinton with Untangled Pathways. Thank you so much, and we look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful day.
All right, take care. Too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
So exciting to hear a different target audience, if you will, right? Those kids, 16 to 24, so great to hear what they're doing and the progress they're making for our city.
I know.
It's exciting.
That's hard. I know. It is. It is exciting.
It
a lot
is.
Of great things going on. All right. Are you ready for thumbs up, thumbs
I am
down?
So ready.
Right.
That was the extended intro. I like it. That was good.
All right. Always controversial. Thumbs up, thumbs down. We usually have people call in and give us your opinion. Today's a little bit different because we are doing pledge drive.
That's right.
So we encourage you to call in, make your pledge, and then you can agree with us or disagree. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. And today, Dr. Katie, what are we talking about?
We are talking about the idea of teachers discussing their personal political views with their students.
That never happens, does
what?
It?
Shocking. Yes, it happens a lot. And, you know, we just want to, of course, we want kids engaged in the political process. But it's also, I mean, we have to consider what parents' personal views are. And if they're hearing things at school that are contradictory, what role should the school really play?
That's
in
right.
teaching about politics.
So this is interesting. We have to figure out how to engage students, right?
Yes.
We want more people to be engaged. We want kids to be engaged. So, I mean, you could have that teacher that is like straight textbook and this is how it happens and this is the process. And
that's
they're
right.
like, yeah, okay, thank you.
Thanks, bored, mm-hmm. right? Or you have the teacher that makes it a little bit more exciting and invites kids to go to the Beto rally and, you know, gets everybody fired, rents the bus for the kids to, you know, take it. To do those things.
Oh my goodness, you just brought something up that was extremely controversial. Wasn't there a school, we're just talking about voting, who was...
The buses.
The
driving
buses.
The buses to register, or to, for kids just to vote.
To,
yes.
Yeah, to register and vote maybe,
yeah.
even, or whatever it was.
And
that got shut down with the quickness.
That's right. They said you can't use that. You can't use the state money to...
Yeah.
Do that.
Then other people were like, we'll put the gas in the...
That's right. Always work around.
Okay, but at the same time, right? So you have, we want to get engaged. This is a process. I think some people try to make it fun. Like,
sure.
Okay, vote. Who wants recess? Who doesn't? Or gets older on, you know, class presidents. But let's also talk about real world issues.
Right. Well, but it's also interesting to, I had a friend that told me a story about her kids that... The 8-year-old asked her who she was going to vote for. And the 6-year-old pipes up and says, well, she's not going to vote for so-and-so because they hate teachers. Because he had heard his teacher say that they, this person that was running.
That's hard.
Hated teachers. And so he just assumed
so
that,
here,
that was.
Here's a thought. So, okay, maybe you wouldn't just go and say, all right, this is how I feel about this candidate and that candidate, and this is why. And the kids are like, oh, okay, because
yes.
from a teacher, that's the fact.
That's right.
Right?
You take
okay.
it, yes.
But not. But what if the curious kid asks you, are you just supposed
that
to say...
That is not what the thumbs up, thumbs down
sorry,
says,
I'm not supposed to... But it's sharing their political
no, that's
views.
That's absolutely right. You know, and I...
And you're supposed to dodge it like a teacher doesn't have an opinion? Or can we talk about our opinions and just as a class? Do you have one? Do you not? I don't know.
I will tell you as... After spending many years in the classroom, as many years in administration in the public schools... I would never share things like that. And plenty of kids asked.
Yeah.
And I would give political, very political, kind of slippery answers. But I never wanted them, I wanted to validate their questions. I wanted them to feel engaged. But I never wanted them to feel like perhaps mommy and daddy's views were at odds
oh, yeah,
with Miss McConnell's views.
I know, because that would not go well.
No.
Your principal would not like you were the principal. But you know.
Right. But also, I know there were people there was plenty of people I was going to agree with, but there was also going to be people that I
yeah.
disagree with. I
no,
mean, I even
true.
Have that in my own family.
I take
my
kids voting with me. I don't tell them exactly who we're voting for,
no.
but I'll be like, we're voting for education today.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I will tell you personally, I think I am thumbs down on teachers discussing their political views in class
mm-hmm.
unless... They give an accurate kind of, they give both perspectives of a situation, right? They can even say endorse one candidate. You know, I'm voting for, you know, of course, we're all talking about the one big race. You know, I'm voting for Beto. Here's why X, Y, or Z. Here's what Ted Cruz stands for, just to use that as an example. And so they see both sides of the information, but they do have that endorsement, if you will.
Yeah.
There we go.
Way to be balanced there.
I know.
So
I could make a fair balance joke right now.
I know. I'd be thumbs down for them telling kids how to vote or not. I don't know. I'm kind of torn about it because you know what? If someone comes back and says, Miss Teacher said she feels this way about an issue, then I'd be like, okay, well, you know what? Mommy feels this way about an issue, and this is why I do it. And right. So why can't we also just disagree and have an understanding rather than being upset that my kid is hearing something that I don't want him to hear, which happens in the real world all the time anyways.
It absolutely
Or can
is.
We just deal with it?
Well.
So I'm like thumbs down, but also fence sitting because I feel if you have a conversation with the kid, y'all can talk about it.
Well, and I think that's important too, right? Always to have the parents engaged. You know, and with the hopes that parents have been engaged and said things like, people are going to have different perspectives. It's okay. We believe X, Y, or Z because.
I know. Because my kid comes home and says, oh, but I feel supportive on this issue. And I'm like, really? I'm like, why?
Why?
Because Sarah said X, Y, and Z, sure. And her parents
and
thought.
Sarah's mom and older sister also really believe that. So it's important that I do too. No, it's interesting. But it is, I do think what's an exciting, you know, kind of silver lining, exciting time right now. We have a whole generation of kids coming up in a political environment where everybody knows something, right? Much more is out there now, much more accessible than it was even when we were growing up.
Sure, but what upsets me is that people don't know how to get along when they disagree.
Well,
so actually,
that's
no,
a different
issue.
We establish
our thing. We're
kind
of like thumbs down to parents, and then I'm like kind of like fence sitting at the same time. Mm-hmm. However, you know, people feel like they can express their views, and they do it all the time, but they do it online social media, but don't know how to have a civil conversation talking to a friend about how they disagree, but they'll go, you know, on social media,
everybody,
and all caps screaming, right, this is what they think, and
right,
unfriending Facebook friends because they don't agree with them, which don't get me wrong. Some of these people are just annoying, right?
No, there are a lot of conversations that I have hidden on Facebook.
Having a conversation.
No, that's exactly
right?
Right.
And then I'm like, so if you're willing to do this on social media, are you willing to go and vote? I think that there is a generation out there that maybe not so much in the past, but
ladies
here
and gentlemen,
is
we've
our
really
opportunity.
Struck a chord with Mandy Kimball right now. I wish you guys could see how straight up she's sitting.
Time,
she's
man.
Swinging her arms around.
Nah! No,
because it is that important, and it is that we do feel that strongly about kids having not only that political awareness, but just your basic interpersonal skills that
and
we
how
know
do you deal
our
with
kids
it,
need
right?
to have.
I know.
Well, I don't. You're the noted child advocate, Mandy.
Oh, please.
What? What should we do?
I think we should learn to have conversations. I have conversations with people that I disagree with on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Well, and
but I can also find a common thread.
She just wagged her finger at my face, you guys. Listeners, I wish you could see what's happening right now.
But I also can always find a common thread that we can agree on. We really
Absolutely.
Agree on more than just disagree.
And I think that's most people in most scenarios if we give ourselves a chance to have that conversation. So it is the height of the midterms, like you said. Lots going on. A lot of rhetoric will be
discussed, but let's have those conversations with our children as well and
That's
teach
right.
them. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Call in today, right now, and please pledge your support for Growing Up in America. Pledge your support for KPFT. This is an outlet where we can talk about issues that
That's
are truly
right.
impacting the lives of our children. And it can go from anywhere, from parenting tips all the time, right?
That's right.
We talk about early education. We talk about public education, the K through 12. Right now we're talking about those wonderful 16 through 24.
That's, right.
That's a beautiful age.
It is.
Human trafficking, health. There's so many. It's flu season right now. There's always issues that are impacting our children's behavioral health, mental health. How can we best support our kids? And nutrition, which we're about to go to.
Oh, I can't wait to
so
get
many
into
issues
this.
I know which that we talk about and need
so
your support.
Straightforward, kids being healthy, but it's not. But in order for us to have the opportunity to have this outlet, to have this lively conversation, we would ask that anybody that is able to call in, it doesn't matter if it's $5, $20,000, wherever you fall in between, call in, show your support for Growing Up in America and KPFT, 713-526-5738, so we can continue to air this lively and informative program that's so important for our kids.
Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above?
There you go.
American Pie, Bill Ludwig.
Yeah! Our dear good friend, Bill Ludwig, Southwest Regional Administrator for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. How are you doing today, Bill? Sorry, Bill, do we have you?
You've got me.
Yay! Hey, how are you doing today? I was a little late pushing the button. I apologize. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Mandy.
Yay! So Katie and I are having lively conversations about all kinds of stuff today.
Solving all the problems.
But we also really wanted to put a spotlight on October is Farm to Schools Month. I bet most of the people don't even know that there is a Farm to Schools Month.
I didn't.
There we go. Well, Bill, can you tell us a little bit about some of the USDA's efforts that's going on right now?
Yes. We had a program for last 5 or 6 years to support American agriculture and to help children eat healthier meals, learn about gardening and farming, and basically to know where the meals come from, where the food comes from, how it's grown. And it's called Farm to School. Sometimes we call it Farm to Everything because it's not just schools participating. You've got food banks participating and a lot of other organizations that are trying to support American agriculture.
There we go. And that's so important as well. And we need it for our schools. So over the past, I don't know, I feel like 5 years, maybe a little bit more, the trendy thing is farm to table.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Restaurants like,
yes,
oh,
for
what's
sure.
available here or there. But it's kind of like, it's almost a luxury, almost, right? Those kind of restaurants, but when it really should be the daily lives and kids understanding where their food is coming from. So really talking about the farm and how it gets to our schools, which is fantastic. And it's also supported by the National School Lunch and School Breakfast Program. And why is it that program so important to our nation and children, Bill?
Well, you know, we've had the National School Lunch Program since back in the 1940s. And the idea is, originally when it got started, young men were going to sign up for the military, and they weren't healthy enough to go fight in the war. So we created the National School Lunch Program so that young men and women and children could grow up to be strong. We know that study after study has shown that children that have a good meal, a good breakfast or a good lunch, that they learn better, that they have the ability to absorb information better. Because, you know, even us adults, when we're hungry, we can't learn. We really don't understand because we're focused on trying to find something to eat. So we have the National School Lunch Program and the National School Breakfast Program to help those children so they do good in school, they can grow up healthy, and be healthy adults and self-sufficient when they grow up.
Now, I'm thinking about our lunch programs that we have here. Obviously, we're in Houston, and I know the Houston Independent School District is participating in the Farm to School Grant Program. Is that correct?
That is correct. They have a very good program there in Houston, and we have about somewhere in the neighborhood of 216,000 kids every day that eat a breakfast and a lunch in Houston.
So what does this grant support? What is the purpose of this grant?
Well, the purpose of the grant is to teach children where food comes from. And so we've got a total of 15 schools. They started out with five, and they're growing community gardens so that the kids can actually see the food, where it's grown, and help pick it, and then hopefully serve some of that in the cafeteria. And like I said, we have, you know, Houston has a huge, I think it's the second or third largest school lunch program in the nation.
There we go. Texas Pride. Thank
That's
you very
right.
much.
Thank you.
We go big in the Lone Star State. Yeah,
no. We do.
Well, and a lot of kids are getting to eat, as you know. I mean, that's so exciting to hear about programs.
And like to have the pride, right? Have you ever had a vegetable garden? When something grows, I get very excited. And I don't know what it tastes like, but it's good because I grew it.
Because you did with your own hands.
That's right. Yeah. I need to go ahead.
And it, you know, in addition, this supports American agriculture. Mm-hmm. This supports our farmers that are out there. And, you know, we're in the United States Department of Agriculture is where my department's located. And we're here to support American agriculture. We're here to support healthy children. What could be a better cause?
I can't think of much, Bill, to be perfectly honest.
No, it is. And how is our agriculture doing right now?
All right. Texas agriculture always does great, you know, especially when we get south of Houston down there in the Texas Valley. We're one of the most productive states as far as agriculture in the nation.
There we go. That's great. And then when we're looking at other programs, so we're talking about the school food program. What are some other USDA feeding programs that serve children across Texas?
Well, you know, Mandy, we've had this conversation before about the summer program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do these children eat during the summertime? When they're out at home, or they're out playing, or they're in daycare. And we have a program, the summer program, that feeds those children when they're at home, they're out playing. And then we have another program for child care centers.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to say that we have a program for children year-round. We have a dinner program, and it's called, technically, it's called the at-risk. But, you know, a lot of children now, when they get finished with school at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, they stay at the school. They're either in football or band practice, or they're getting tutoring. So we have a program to help feed those children even after school.
There we go. And we're talking to Bill Ludwig with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Bill, if there were parents who wanted to learn more about programs, if it's after-school programs, child care programs, and the summer, is there a site that they can go to?
Yes, ma'am. They can go to United States Department of Agriculture, Food and Nutrition Service, and we have all of our programs there. We have 15 feeding programs across the United States, and the bulk of them are here in Texas, so they can go there to learn about all of our programs.
Wonderful. Well, this music means that it is final four at 54, and we're going to do it a couple minutes early so we can pitch our pledge, but we have some questions to ask you, Bill, so our listeners can get to know you a bit better. So the first question we're asking you is, what was your favorite toy to play with as a kid?
Oh, a fire truck.
I love that.
Growing up, I wanted to either be a fireman or a policeman, and here I am being agriculture.
Yeah, I know, but you're still putting out fires. I do believe
right.
it.
Political fires are a little different.
And what did you want to? Well, what did you want to be when you were growing up? There you go.
I figured that one out.
Wanted to be a fireman or a policeman, and here I am playing and working with farmers and great people like y'all.
There you go. And what was your favorite book to read as a child?
Golly, that's a good one. I don't, you know, I don't remember one as a child, but I remember as I was growing up, To Kill a Mockingbird was one of my favorite
books. One of my all-time favorites. And Bill, I'm going to ask this. I got a little bit of inside intel recently. I know you travel a lot. So our final question is to offer a travel tip for those perhaps like a colleague of ours out in our Dallas office that doesn't fly very well. By the way, thank you for taking care of her on that flight.
You're welcome.
What's your favorite or your best tip for those who are reluctant to fly?
You know, I fly every week. And the best thing to do when you're flying is just get on the plane and enjoy the ride. Get you a good book and sit back and read your book and let the pilots do all the work. I fly all the time and have for many years. It's just a nice way to travel. I'm flying to Austin tomorrow, and I'm flying to Albuquerque on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much, Bill, and we appreciate everything that you do for our kids, not only in Texas but in the South region. You're awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank y'all. Have a great day.
All righty. Thanks.
Bye.
So we have a few more minutes left, and we are not giving up on those phone calls. We want you to call in, please, and pledge your support. Leslie, do we have, is Dwayne in Pledge Central right now?
We will check on that. And
yeah, Pledge Central at your service.
Oh, Dwayne Bradley.
Hey.
How are you?
I am great.
Wonderful.
And I'm glad y'all are here. However, that's about the extent of the good news I can offer you.
Is that what you're saying?
The goal for the program with 5 minutes remaining remains unmet. As a matter of fact, we're still approaching it from a distance.
That was spoken like a parent, Dwayne, trying to make us not feel bad.
But you have confidence in people, right, that they can call in and make a difference.
Absolutely. That's KPFT's existence is a testament to that fact.
Are there any goodies out there if they pledge?
Well, there's always things at Pledge Central. I mean, we have tickets to about a dozen different venues. We have some great Pacifica archive recordings. We have some books. We have KPFT swag, including, and this is very appropriate today, the KPFT Peace hoodie, that zipper-fronted, all-cotton KPFT hoodie. It's got pockets, got a hood. It's got the KPFT Peace logo. It's $150 or $1,250 a month, but, you know, why not get it now when it's chilly rather than, you know,
it's very timely.
When it's paid off.
And that's so, just kind of extra added bonus for our dedicated listeners that listen week in and week out to call in to make a pledge and be able not only keep our angelic voices on the air, but to be able to get something in return.
And KPFT really needs programs like Growing Up in America to garner the support. The content is exemplary, and KPFT is the only platform that this kind of information can really find a home, where you're going to get a full hour every week for this kind of analysis and conversations and, you know, in-depth information about the education system and about our children and about the future. And that's, you know, that's where we're all headed. So as you're listening today, the first day of early voting in the state of Texas, we want you to vote for Growing Up in America as well. And we want you, this is like going to the polls on the radio through your telephone or through your web phone. If you're out there at kpft.org listening to us on the web, there's a donate now button on the top right. Just follow the instructions on that safely and securely, and, you know, put it to work that way. Visa, Discover, American Express, or MasterCard, your choice. And cash, check, money order, electronic funds transfer, credit, debit. Hey, last Monday on my program, Open Journal, which comes up at 6 on Mondays, we had the donation of an actual gold Krugerrand.
Ooh.
So, I mean, if you have some gold bullion or silver you'd like to donate, we'd even cash in your aluminum cans. I mean, KPFT is a kind of,
we'll
a grassroots organization. We'll do whatever it takes. We have for over 49 years, and we'll keep doing great radio as long as you keep the tower powered up.
There we go.
713-526-5738. 526-KPFT, 526-5738. Just give us a call. We have a $700 goal. And, Mandy, you don't want to be going home and, you know, Katie, you don't want to be going back to Dr. Bob and saying, yeah, well, hey, hey, Bob. Yeah.
Thanks for the pressure. We know.
Right.
No, we don't. And if anybody, so now it's just like if you feel sorry for us, right?
Right.
Is that what we're saying?
Well,
no.
Again,
we'll
pull on your heartstrings if we need to.
Yep.
Because KPFT needs to survive and thrive in order to make a difference in people's lives, as it has for pushing a half a century now. 713-526-5738.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Hey, thank y'all.
Thank you. All right. So, and it's never too late. So we have about 30 more seconds, but you can call in an hour or this evening or whenever.
Tomorrow.
Now would be great.
Sure.
And call in and pledge to Growing Up in America. Thank you so much, Dr. Katie, for being on the show today.
It's always my pleasure.
For more facts and information on